regions of Ghana, A1 Radio in Bogatanga. We're on ATL FM in Cape Coast. We are live on X Spaces. We're on Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrol Soul Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. This afternoon, minority in Parliament is calling for the immediate arrest of the CEO of Lamens Investments Africa, the company implicated in the repackaging and distribution of allegedly expired rice to senior high schools.
The NDC caucus demands the immediate arrest and prosecution of the directors of Lamens Investment Africa Limited, Mr. Ajefi Mensah and Simon Ejayi. The Ministry of Education must be probed for their conduct in this despicable affair.
The group is also calling for sanctions against the head of the buffer store company, plus the Food and Drugs Authority stance on the matter.
Did FDA authorize the rebagging without the best before date or expiry date as required by LI 1541?
We have details of that, plus reactions also from health insurance fraud and sexual abuse to patient theft. The Medical and Dental Council is overwhelmed with complaints of professional misconduct and is actively investigating for potential sanctions.
There are instances where doctors have engaged in some health insurance fraud, engaged in unprofessional boundary issues. But more importantly, we have had issues of sexual assault in.
Also, medical practitioners implicated in the patient abandonment case at the Winneba Trauma Hospital could lose their licenses.
To look at the degree of involvement of the practitioner, right. Okay. That is only because the medical
director
the head of the institution,
was cited
in the matter.
Okay.
And he is a registered practitioner.
And all sights on Parliament as the Council of State Chiefs and economists beckon for a recall of MPs to attend to crucial government business before the time runs out on the 8th Parliament.
It has serious consequences for governance, like the budget. You know, from January, there will be no money to pay anybody. All public servants cannot be paid.
We should find time to sit down and talk so this nation can progress.
That a country that we have serious problems on our hands, that we discontinue government business and we are waiting.
We have sports.
Black Stars coach Otuadu says hatred from Ghanaians is part of the reasons the team failed to qualify for AFCON 2025.
That and more in this afternoon's edition of the Midday News. I am Emefa Apau. Please do stay on for details. Many thanks for choosing us. This is your home of independent, fearless and credible journalism. We're digging now and the minority in Parliament has called on President Akufo-Addo to cause the arrest of the CEO of Lamens Investments Africa, the company at the centre of the repackaging and distribution of expired rice to senior high schools in February this year. MP for North Tong, Samuel Okudjetua Black, while addressing the media, bemoaned the President's silence on the matter, which has garnered attention the past few days. He also urged the President to a matter of urgency, call for an investigation and sanctioning of the board of the National Food Buffer Stock and other persons implicated in the distribution of the expired rice.
This company, Lamens, is notorious for offering unwholesome food to senior high school students. A 2021 Auditor General's report exposed Lamens for endangering the health of students with their contaminated food. They were also engaged in undersupplying food items. Lamens should therefore have been blacklisted as far back as 2021 if our institutions were working in the national interest. It is significant to point out that Lamens has admitted to its wrongdoing and agreed to pay an administrative fine of 100,000 Ghana cedis. Indeed, additional intercepted documents confirm that Lamens paid a 50% deposit of the fine to the Food and Drugs Authority, amounting to 50,000 Ghana cedis. It was received by the FDA on January 5, 2024. Ladies and gentlemen, FDA insiders say that the untouchable Lamens has since refused to pay the remaining fine. Can you believe that? After endangering the life of our students, all they have suffered is a slap on the wrist, 50,000 Ghana cedis, peanuts, and they are even refusing to pay the rest. Initially, the FDA intended to fine Lamens 150,000 Ghana cedis, and then to dispose the 15,000 bags which had been repackaged at the time of the alert, and then three, issue an immediate disease order to stop further repackaging. However, intense political pressure thwarted the FDA's original plans.
Aside from the demand for the arrest, the minority demands answers to some 20 questions.
So we want to know, is it the FDA, since the Minister of Education has become the defender of Lamens, did the FDA ask Lamens to change the origin from India to Ghana? We also want to know, did FDA authorize the rebagging without the best before date or expiry date as required by LI 1541? And you see how criminal these people are. Even if they claim that there was this strange extension, why not state it on the bag so that as the headmasters are feeding our students with this food, they won't go beyond April? Don't forget we are now in November. Why did they not state it? Why did they conceal this? Why do we treat human beings, our own children, our own citizens, like this? Why did the FDA not destroy the contaminated Moshosho rice as its internal memo of December 29, 2023 had initially recommended? Why is the Minister of Education compelling high schools to receive repackaged food items without expiry date? This trend is so dangerous. And headmasters and chairs are also tolerating this.
Well, let me bring in the PRO of the Ministry of Education, Mr. Kwesi Kwarteng. We are grateful for your time here on the Midday News. So this is a matter that you mentioned that some internal investigation was underway. What exactly have you been able to find, and have there been any sanctions so far?
I think we've communicated that to the public earlier on. I don't know if I'm expected to repeat what we've already communicated to the public.
It's interesting that you say that you've already communicated, but let me find out from you. If you say you've already communicated, there are questions that have come up. Did the FDA authorize the rebagging that you talk about?
I think that should be the most fundamental question that we should ask ourselves. At the end of the day, the understanding that I have from FDA is that FDA had declared the product wholesome and safe for consumption. For me, as a spokesperson to the Ministry of Education, of course, representing my boss in addressing some of these concerns, that is our priority. That ultimately, or at the end of the day, the question of whether or not the food was wholesome, was safe for the consumption of human beings, whether or not FDA approved. I mean, the answer is affirmative, that yes, FDA approved it for me.
And you have evidence for that. Can you release that approval that the FDA gave for
it's
the rebagging?
My Facebook page, it's on my Facebook page. You can also get to FDA and get the document. It's a public document. I got it from FDA. I've shared same. The approval came on the 15th day of January 2024. I mean, I am surprised because I do not understand why Mr. Blackwa should be disappointed that FDA is confirming that the food was wholesome. I thought the whole intention was to fight for the safety and well-being of students. So if at the end of the day, it comes out that FDA had already made a determination and declared the food wholesome and safe, I mean, where from this whole drama and dragging of issues?
You call it drama?
No, you see, we should separate the facts from the dramatization of it. The fundamental question is whether or not FDA approved whether the food was wholesome or not.
But there are concerns. There are concerns that there were big hands involved in this matter. For which reason? Let me finish. For which reason? Maybe someone's hands were actually forced to do what they were not supposed to do. Have you also considered that?
I don't think this is a fair question even to come from you.
Why is it not fair? Is it strange? Is it strange?
To speculations and assumptions. That proposed hand was in it. In the press release, I'm not sure my role as a spokesperson is to respond to assumptions and speculations by a member of parliament who lays claim and refuses to support such claims with evidence. Whose hand? He is a minister. He has been a minister for education before. He is a member of parliament. If indeed he suspects hand in some of these things, there are forms of addressing that. I'm not sure I'm in the right position to affirm or denounce. I don't speak for FDA. I don't speak for Lamens. What we did as a ministry was not to sit there unconcerned.
So clarify for me.
When you ask West Ghana Land,
finish.
There was an issue we made findings or investigated him and then communicated our findings to the public. And our findings was that at the end of the day, the FDA declared the food wholesome.
Okay, so you've landed. Let me finish. You've landed on that. So at what point then did the FDA sanction Laments Africa? Why?
I really did not want to go into this, but you see, the point is that let's put things right information out there.
Please answer directly. FDA, answer FDA, directly, sir.
FDA sanctioned Laments for not getting approval to repackage, not the wholesomeness of the food. They did not get approval. There is a letter that was written by Laments to FDA to get an approval to repackage. But FDA's case was that since the extension of the best before date has been granted, you have to attach that document in any school where you supply the food. But Laments did not listen.
So
they went and went ahead to repackage the food against the fact that FDA had not granted an approval
And you insist that Laments did nothing wrong, even though they were sanctioned by FDA for not seeking approval for this repackaging. But I'm wondering, why did they have to even repackage if there was nothing wrong?
MFA. Let's speak too fast. We can have our own, our own...
I think that's what we are doing here. We are not here to talk about opinions. We are sticking to the facts.
In that case, you don't ask judgmental questions. Ask questions that...
What is judgmental about the question? Why did they have to repackage is the concern. If there was nothing wrong with the rice, why did they have to repackage and change the name of the country of origin? Why did that have to happen?
Respectfully, I don't speak for FDA. The document that I said on why they wanted to, they need to repackage, the document is a public document. You can find out, you can speak to the company. I can only speak to what we have found as a ministry. That,
okay,
to me, is the most important. What we found is that FDA declared the food wholesome. If you dispute that FDA is the right agency to speak to that, I don't speak to why FDA sanctioned and why FDA did not do that. That's what the company did it. For us, our priority as a ministry is to find out whether the food was wholesome. And we have found out the food was wholesome. That answers for the Ministry of Education.
Okay, so from the Ministry of Education's point of view, nothing untoward happened. It ends the matter. I'm asking.
From the Ministry of Education's point of view, the food was wholesome, as declared by FDA. And for us, that is the most important thing.
And so nothing untoward happened. The investigations from the Ministry of Education's point of view ends here.
I'm not sure if I wanted to use that word, I would have used that. For us in the Ministry of Education, I repeat, our priority was to see to the safety and well-being of our students. We asked FDA, we spoke to the director in charge of FDA, we spoke to the boss there, they provided with evidence and documents that shows that the food was wholesome and safe. For us in the Ministry of Education, that is our priority.
So investigation continues or it ends on the part of the Ministry of Education?
We've put out our findings. If there is any other issue that comes up, we'll let the public know. But for now, that is our finding.
We are grateful. That's the PRO of the Ministry of Education, Kwesi Kwating there. Now, let's focus on some other stories. And from insurance fraud and sexual abuse to patient theft, the Medical and Dental Council says it is overwhelmed with complaints of professional misconduct among medical practitioners and actively investigates the cases for potential sanction. The president of the Ghana Medical Association revealed disturbing trends among some doctors and practitioners during the annual general meeting of the Volta Regional, in the Volta region, I should say. Now, speaking to Joy FM Ultimate Health Program, the registrar at the Medical and Dental Council, Dr. Divine Banyubala, says the situation is getting out of hand.
You know, people, there are instances where doctors have issued excuse duties improperly in the
right.
professional sense.
Okay.
There are instances where doctors have engaged in some health insurance fraud.
Okay.
Fictitious.
Fictitious claims.
Okay. And things like that. And those matters would then be looked into. There are instances where practitioners have, for example, engaged in unprofessional boundary issues.
Okay.
So there have been instances where they have either harassed patients, or their relatives
right.
who are under their care.
All forms of harassment. Not just sexual.
Okay. And then But more importantly, we have had issues of sexual assault in a few cases.
Where a doctor,
you know, violates a patient in a manner that is completely unacceptable.
Last month, the Ministry of Health escalated a case involving alleged medical misconduct at the Trauma and Specialist Hospital in Winneba in the Central Region to the Criminal Investigation Department and the Attorney General's Department. While this action follows an investigation by the Health Service, which uncovered serious misconduct by certain hospital officials about the death of a patient who was transferred to Ojobi, where she was abandoned until her demise. The Medical and Dental Council has also started investigations to establish whether or not the doctors involved acted unprofessionally.
It is one of the classical instances where, as a regulator, we hear something on radio and we investigate.
Okay.
Take it upon ourselves to investigate.
Right.
Yes, the Ghana Health Service took immediate steps. I had conversation with the director. You know, we had also commenced our investigation.
Okay.
And I had to speak with him. And he set up a team. They've kindly shared with us the report of that team.
Okay.
As we speak, the matter is before us. So I will not be able to speak.
I was just thinking
to look at the degree of involvement.
I'm just thinking of
the practitioner.
Right. Okay.
That is only because the medical
director,
the head of the institution,
was cited.
In the matter.
Okay.
And he is a registered practitioner,
okay.
And therefore, you know, we need to go into it and see whether it's not just a technical competence issue, but whether his conduct in this matter reflected the conduct that is expected of right.
Let me bring you back.
That's the registrar of the Medical and Dental Council, Dr. Divine Banyubala. Now, all eyes are set on Parliament as critical government business, including the approval of next year's budget and crucial loans hanging the balance. The Council of State, economists and traditional rulers are alarmed by the delay in recalling the House after it was adjourned indefinitely by Speaker Alban Bagbin, fearing that the consequences for the next government could be dire, including a financial crisis, delays in salary payments, and scaring away investors. The Council of State intervened, hoping the dispute will be resolved. However, not much has changed since. Samuel Kujeto is a member of the Council of State. He spoke on the probe.
That day, he was actually traveling to Australia when we gave him the advice. But the subsequent acts and action, rather, we thought that has muddied the stream. You know, he came back, and I, at least from what I had read, was that he was saying that the courts and the executive are in cohort. I was shocked by that one because the executive had not been involved in the matter. This was a matter of parliament. Before that parliament comes to an end, there are certain consequential orders, decisions, and the rest that they must take. And if they do not take, it has serious consequences for governance. Like the budget. You know, from January, there will be no money to pay anybody. All public servants cannot be paid.
Well, we've also been hearing from the paramount chief of the Amfuega traditional area and president of the Volta Regional House of Chiefs, Togbite Prehudu IV, who's urging the two sides to resolve their differences for the nation's sake.
So this is a situation where, notwithstanding what the NDC chairman has said, I still think that all the parties can sit down and talk in the interest of this nation called Ghana and in the interest of national cohesion. It isn't everything that we should always be running to court over. We should find time to sit down and talk so this nation can progress.
Well, Sheikh Arimiyah Shaibu, speaking on behalf of the National Chief Imam, also added his voice to the calls for MPs to reconvene.
All the efforts that are being made to ensure that we have pre-election peace, peaceful political environment, in fact, it's been undermined and it's been eroded. There's complete erosion of confidence in government institutions. And so I think that the 275 parliamentarians must be mindful of this and they must rise above their parochial partisan interest.
Meanwhile, Professor of Finance Gottfried Bockbing spells out some economic difficulties of the AMP's actions.
Beyond the inflows that we expect from the IMF-supported program, as the board considers our third review, probably on December 2nd, for us to get the next $360 million, we still need to build our economy and confidence to attract much-needed portfolio flows and foreign direct investment flows. And beyond that, we must ensure that our actions and inactions do not heighten the political temperature, which may undermine investment here. Look, don't be surprised. If you find that some Ghanaians would want to build liquidity in foreign currency because they are unsure what will happen in the election,
Professor Godfred Bopping there speaking on the probe, taking us on a quick break here on the Midday News, live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra, Hits 103.9 FM in Accra, Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi, myjoyonline.com, and live in all 16 regions. The Midday News is made possible by Petrol Soul Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. We return from the break with sport, and later in our Street of Despair series, we'll take you to Kanishi First Light, where foreign children as young as 10 years old, far from home, are fighting to survive.
My parents moved from Niger because things there were difficult. At first, I begged, but now I make more money selling.
When budgets are tight and money difficult to come by, you want to be sure you get the best value for your money. These are not times to be spending money fixing expensive engine problems because of cheap fuel and lubricant. Drive to a Petrosol station today and buy your quality fuel and lubricant, and rest assured of fuel that lasts long and lubricants that prevent expensive engine problems. Hear the sound. Petrosol, clean fuel in full quantity.
Efia, I've been thinking. Have you noticed the changes in our community?
Kajo, things are really different now. The MPP has really made a difference.
Exactly. Free SHS, healthcare, new factories. It's like a whole new Ghana.
And don't forget, electricity is so much reliable now. I remember when we used to go days without light.
True. The MPP has done a lot to improve the basics.
Ajua is a beneficiary of Free SHS, and now she is in university.
And that's the kind of leadership we need. Someone who is focused on making things better for everyone. But Efia, still there are a lot more to be done for the development of Ghana.
Absolutely, Kwaju. The MPP has shown that real progress is possible.
On December 7th, let's vote to keep this positive impact going. Vote number one on the ballot. Vote MPP for a better and prosperous Ghana.
At Sigma Appliances, from air conditioners, fridges, freezers, washing machines, small appliances, and more. Sigma Appliances has them all. Visit Platinum Impex on the Spinters Road behind Okadeko for wholesale, or find Sigma products at your nearest home appliance store. Call 030-280-1555 or WhatsApp plus 233-55466-6444. Visit PlatinumImpex.net. Sigma Appliances is the perfect choice for your home.
The luckiest
*712#.
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah.
Here's to the friends who dialed *712# and found no regrets. To the investors who struck gold. To the health workers who diagnosed luck with precision. To the tough guy who couldn't hold back his tears. To the passionate fan who couldn't contain his joy. To the seamstress who turned her hard-earned stitches into a bundle of happiness. And now, here's to you. Your next big win is right here.
Luck is everywhere.
Dial *712# now. Join in the luckiest winning celebration every 1st July 2024. Over dial *712# now. I can swear to ticket as a group, individual, and also even as a community. Now, win is the car cashier prizes are cashier in the community draw, or go for the grand draw on the 30th of November 2024. Unlock your luck with *712# now. Join in the winning streak now.
The luckiest
*712#.
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah. The luckiest.
Time for sports here on the Midday News, and well, we're talking dollars. Well, what's happening?
We're all in a state of inquest into why the Black Stars have failed to qualify for the AFCON for the first time since 2004. Mm-hmm. The head coach of the team has joined in. His explanation for Ghana's failure to qualify is that Ghanaians hated the team and himself.
There was a lot of hatred coming from outside against against me, against maybe the team. And yeah, I can just ensure you that I think in all, sometimes it affects the players, and we need support. That's all. That's all. If all of you want Ghana to win, we are very down now. If you don't want us to go to the World Cup, then you can continue and then you can hammer on us, okay? But if you really want us to go to the World Cup, we need support. That's all I can say.
That's the man we are paying $50,000, eh?
Yeah, that's what we do. Okay. Black Stars.
Thank you. Let's do Streets of Despair, you know. I'll take you to Kaneshi First Light here in the Greater Accra region, where children, some as young as 10 years old and far from home in Niger and Nigeria, fighting to survive. Well, these children, once seen begging at car windows, are now selling goods at the median of our city's busiest streets, dodging traffic and finding ways to feed themselves. Joy News for Tina Safo has been engaging some of them in the following report.
I have come to one of the busiest intersections in the capital, Kaneshi First Light. Once the traffic light signals red, young faces appear through the blare of car windows with outstretched arms, warm smiles, and sometimes tear-filled eyes. They try to prick your conscience, hoping you spare a coin or two. These children, often from Niger and Nigeria, once upon a time survived mainly through the benevolence of passengers and drivers. However, their approach has changed. They have become vendors, selling products like cotton earbuds and brushes, striving to catch the attention of potential buyers. 10-year-old Aisha says she makes enough profit to feed herself and her parents.
My parents moved from Niger because things there were difficult. We came here hoping for a better life. At first, I begged, but now I make more money selling. I can now cater for myself and my parents.
For 10-year-old Fatih, selling car brushes provides her the dignity begging deprives her of.
When I was begging, people used to stare at me a lot. Now I sell and I know they see me. It's not much, but I'm earning something and feels better. I make at least 20 cedis profit a day.
This new path is far from easy, but they still push on. For Sina Safo, Joy News, Kaneshi First Light.
And that's our Streets of Despair. Now, a young girl with end-stage kidney failure, Rosemary Buedu, will begin her pre-transplant workout on Thursday after the CEO of Engineers and Planners, Ibrahim Mahama, paid the $25,000 required for her surgery. Ahead of this, Rafiq Mahama, the special aide to the business mogul, visited the family to offer more support. Emmanuel Jivenu has more in this report.
It was a moment of raw emotions as Rosemary's mother fell to her knees to thank Ibrahim Mahama, whose kindness has given her daughter a chance at life. The special aide to CEO of Engineers and Planners in Jata Cement, Rafiq Mahama, visited the family to wish them well ahead of the pre-transplant evaluation this week.
I was having a discussion with boss, that's Mr. Ibrahim Mahama. So he said it's important that I come here to see them and also make sure that everything is fine with them before they leave for the hospital. We pray that every process that we go through in this journey, it will go well, and Rosemary will come back stronger.
Mr. Rafiq Mahama also presented 20,000 cedis to Rosemary and the mother.
As part of the visit, he said I should please give you 20,000 cedis so that now you use it for the meantime to take care of yourselves before you report to the hospital.
For Rosemary, after years of enduring painful dialysis session and facing uncertain future, hope has finally found her.
That's Emmanuel Jivenu's report, taking us out tonight, today on the Midday News. Jackie, what are people talking about?
Well, MFI is very hot on a Monday afternoon like this. Ibrahim Mahama is still trending on social media after the extra donation they made today. But apart from that, a former president is trending, Johnny Jikumkufo, after his big interview yesterday.